1. Begin transmission.
Whoop-a-dee-doo. Yes, once again, it is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. Let us begin. My name is Tobe. I am the chairman of this, the very Dubious Goals Committee, and I'm finally getting started here, 10 minutes into this game. I'm watching the Croatia game. Mandzukic has scored, but the other team has scored as well. There were 2 goals in the first 4 minutes. And so now it's a draw. Oh, there's a penalty. Yes, penalty kick. Penal. Oh, no, I guess not. He was just outside of the box. Yep, he got tripped outside the box and he fell in. So it will not be a penalty kick. Just a free kick in a very, very dangerous area. Now I'm curious as to see what happens here. Who's going to take it? Looks like Rakitic. Let's go, Rakitic. He's going to kick the ball over the wall and into the net. Come on, kick the ball. And of course he's got to try to get past one of my favorite goalies. Kasper Schmeichel, or as I like to call him, Michael Schmeichel. Come on, give us the kick. Waiting for the referee to blow his whistle. He blows the whistle. The ball goes up. Oh, and it catches the head of a guy in the wall. Ball goes flying out of bounds. Doink. There it goes. That'll be a corner kick for Croatia, which means Modric, will probably take it. Yes, Luka Modric approaches the corner, puts the ball inside the 1 yard arc, and I have a feeling we're going to get an in swinger. There's the in swinger. Oh, to the dot. Guy went up, got his head on it, but the ball went the wrong direction. Okay, so yeah, there's lots of football on today. Oh, and I missed the early games because I was sleeping. Boy, I slept late today, and I didn't really stay up all that late, but I was kind of tired when I went to sleep, and I did sleep pretty good. The big question is, why did I go to sleep so late last night? Well, once again, I sort of got hooked on watching some YouTube videos. Obviously, last night I watched Furikuri. I watched Furikuri Aggressive, and it was great. And it's building up to the climax, and Atomisk is going to show up any day now because the Atomisk detectors are going off. And if you're wondering, you've probably seen Haruko's bracelet. It's got that one chain link that hangs off of it. Well, when that chain link starts to vibrate and stick up and do weird stuff, that means it's feeling the presence of Atomisk. Oh, yeah. So finally, yeah, next week is the finale. Atomisk will finally show up. Oh, boy. And, you know, the stuff is going to go down then. That's what you need to know about Furikuri. When Atomisk shows up, oh, it's game over. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here, drinking nice tea, watching the game, and thinking about those crazy videos I was watching last night. Last night I started watching some of my marble races. And after a couple of them, after about, I don't know, 45 minutes, I must have watched like 4 marble racing videos in Holland. Dutch people. I'm really starting to love these guys. But there was a video suggested for me, and I was looking at the thumbnail, and I was like, well, this isn't marble racing. Oh, but it was miniature car racing. And I'm going to have to say a brand name here so that people know what I'm talking about. It was Hot Wheels racing. If you're not from America, we have a toy company that makes miniature cars. I don't know what scale they are. About 1/64. Somewhere around in there. And this company calls their cars Hot Wheels. And they've been making these little toy cars for many, many decades. It's a very, very popular toy. It's been around forever. Well, anyway. I was watching videos of some guys racing Hot Wheels cars. And they have a pretty fancy setup. They've got a 6-lane track that they can configure. And they can get, you know, a scale quarter mile out of it, which is impressive to me because that's the one thing I don't like about miniature car racing. Distances are never scale, speeds aren't scale, blah, blah, blah. But that's neither here nor there. Now, like all American children, I did have Hot Wheels cars as a child, and I did have some track, and I did set some stuff up and race cars occasionally. But I haven't done that since I was about 10 years old. So I was kind of fascinated to see these grown men racing Hot Wheels cars. But that's not the thing that impressed me. The thing that impressed me was their whole setup in general. Now, the video I was watching was posted by a guy named Chris, whose channel is called something like Ghost Jerker. And he's got a lot of videos of racing these cars. And, like I said, the first thing that blew my mind was the number of cars that these guys had. As best as I can tell, this channel is sort of, and these races are sort of run by 3 guys. And they might be brothers. It's hard to tell. But the first thing I noticed is how many cars they have. Because when they point the camera at the wall of cars, it's mind-boggling. They have many hundreds of cars, and they just have them up on little shelves that they've built along the wall of what appears to be a room. And every vertical surface has cars on it, and I would estimate there to be, they could have up to like 5,000 cars. Possibly more. I haven't done any research on these guys. I haven't checked to see if they have a website. I haven't read anything on their YouTube information. Because remember, I'm streaming this on my TV, and so I don't get to see comments or any of the text associated with these videos. So I don't know what these guys are up to, but they've got 5,000 cars at least. It's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. I've never seen so many Hot Wheels cars in one place. And I have seen some fairly large collections in the past. I've been to museums and toy stores and toy museums and stuff, and I haven't seen this many damn cars. But it's cool. And they've got some really, they must go around to thrift stores and or buy new stuff and buy stuff online, because they have pretty much every single Hot Wheels car accessory, including a very fancy ramp and starting gate, 6-lane starting gate, and a 6-lane electronic finish line that flashes the number of the lane that wins, and there's a voice, there's a sample in there that says, "Winner, lane 2." And then there's like fake crowd noises. It's bizarre. But at one point in time, the cameraman was sort of panning around the room that they were in, and there's a door to the outside. A guy was sort of trying to pretend to sneak like he's leaving, but I was like, wait a minute. And it occurred to me, this is not a room in a house. This is most likely a single-wide mobile home. This is a trailer. That would explain the length and the width. It's not a very wide or deep room. And they've just got, you know, this sort of like table or shelf built to line one wall, and that's where they have the track running the entire length of this room. But like I said, I suspect that this is a trailer, a single wide mobile home that has been customized to just be their little hobby shack, their little hobby room. These guys collect and race these cars. It's about all they've done for their entire lives. There's only two guys you ever get to see on camera. Emmanuel and what's the other guy's name? The guy who's shooting it is named Chris. I can't remember the other guy's name right now. But it doesn't matter. They look like they might be brothers. They have the same hair. And these guys are very interesting. Emmanuel especially, because he's very quiet. He just sort of sits down there by the finish line running one of the cameras. And I'm impressed. Because if these guys do, in fact, have a single-wide mobile home trailer as their hobby room, that's impressive. That means that this is sitting somewhere, maybe on family property, outside the house. I mean, I can just see him at some point in time, their mom saying, "You cannot keep this stuff in the house anymore," because they had many thousands of cars. I'm dying to know. So did they have a single-wide trailer on their property for some other reason and they decided to convert it? Or did they actually buy a trailer for the specific purpose of turning it into their Hot Wheels racing zone? It's hard to tell how old these guys are. They look kind of young, but everybody looks kind of young to me. These guys are adults. Probably in their mid-20s to mid-30s. And it's hard to guess. I didn't think about it until right now. But this is an impressive setup that they've got going. And the production value is, it's pretty good. They have one handheld camera, and then they're using phones to film the finish line stuff so they can slow it down in the slow motion. They show all the races a few times from different angles in slow motion and regular motion. It's pretty good, all things considered. And they also might be a band, because one of the credits at the beginning of the show is music by Ghost Jerker. And the music's okay. It's, I would say, what I classify as enthusiastic amateur music. These are people who aren't pros. These are people who don't even play gigs or don't have any interest in, you know, publishing their music or anything. They just make music for fun. And it's some of it I thought was sort of a little simplistic and dorky. Some of it was pretty good. Some of it wasn't quite my taste, but I was like, okay. So I'm wondering if all three of these guys are in a band called Ghost Jerker, or if it's just one of the guys using the name, because it's just computer music stuff that's slapped together in something like, you know, Propeller Heads or some, who knows, reason, or it doesn't matter. I'm very interested in these guys and their strange hobby. But so much so that I kind of got hooked on watching what they were doing. And I watched a couple videos where, oh, they just have the straight track. And there's one video I watched, they had the little slalom track, little wavy track. And they did one where they had a real tight, like, corkscrew loop. And I watched one of the short ones where the main guy, he wanted to make a giant loop. And so he got a hula hoop, cut it, and screwed it to the table, and then attached a track to the inside of it. It was kind of nutty. And kind of some slipshod engineering, too. I thought, I was like, dude, there's a better way to do that. But it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. He was having fun. And it ended up working, so who cares? I must have watched... How long did I watch? I started watching at about 12:30 or 1 o'clock. I must have watched 2.5 or almost 3 hours of these guys racing Hot Wheels cars. It was crazy. And they have all kinds of weird theme races and stuff. apparently, their regular modus operandi appears to be they pick so many cars, they pick out a certain type of car that they want to race. They line them all up, and then the two other guys take turns picking cars for their team, and then they race them, and they race each pair of cars at least 2 times. This is when they're just doing drag racing, making sure that each car has, you know, a chance in each lane. You have to win by 2. And so they have these little tournaments. And then there was one point in time when they were racing 6 wide. They were racing 6 cars at once, classifying the cars in sort of all the same way. And so we got to see a race of F1 cars, and then a race of 3 Camaros versus 3 Mustangs, and all kinds of weird stuff. And I was just fascinated by it. I could not stop watching it. It was crazy. And I've come to realize that, you know, somebody should actually have a TV channel. I guess the point is moot now that we have YouTube and streaming services and everything, but if I personally had a television channel on cable TV, you know, I would have some of this weird stuff. On Tobe TV, you would be able to see a weekly half-hour show of somebody racing marbles and a half-hour show of somebody racing Hot Wheels cars. And, you know, lots of cricket highlights. And lots of sports. But obviously we don't actually need to have cable channels anymore if people who are making this stuff are just throwing it up on YouTube. And if you're like me, and you have a fairly smart TV, you can just pull this stuff up on your TV anyway. And you know what's weird is I so want to watch the guys racing Hot Wheels cars that I'm tempted to push the button now. No, I can't do that. I'm right in the middle of a live World Cup game. I can't be interrupting this to watch toy cars race. And I did watch a lot of toy car racing last night. Not just the Hot Wheels stuff. I was watching some cool Japanese stuff. I was watching some mini Kyosho car racing. And I have one of these cars. And I wanted to go to where these guys were and race them, because they had all the cool stuff. They had the cool track. Oh, but that's nothing. Then I saw some Tamiya stuff. I also love Tamiya products. Oh, and they have these new cool things, these four-wheel drive cars that they are not radio controlled. They are just put on a track that has high walls. And I saw 2 versions of this. One where half the race was underwater. Yes, you heard me. They built a track in a pond where half of it's above the level of the water and half of it was underwater. And so they put like submarine motors on these cars. So that when they're underwater, they go fast. Then when they're on the land, they... And then back in the water, splash. It was crazy. Half on land, half underwater racing. Only the Japanese can think of this. And then I saw some more of these cars, but not the underwater kind. What do they call them? Hypersharks? Tamiya four-wheel drive, mini four-wheel drive something. And I haven't seen these. I try to stay out of hobby shops because I don't need to see other things that I want to spend my money on. And as soon as I saw this, I just thought, oh, I got to have that. But some guys went to some big Tamiya convention or something and got to race their cars against everybody else in the world on this unbelievable six-lane track that just blew my mind. Oh, and this type of racing is fascinating because basically you want to build a car that's fast, but not too fast because it has to stay on the track. And you just see cars flying off the track constantly. It was awesome. So it was kind of like Hot Wheels car racing, but these cars were bigger. They were about, what scale would that have been? That's probably like 1/20th scale would be my guess. Yeah, somewhere right around there. You could hold them in your hand, in one hand. They were gnarly looking too, and expensive looking. I do love Tamiya products. They make just the greatest stuff, but unfortunately, I just can't really afford it. If I was a rich man, if I had a job and I didn't do anything else, and I mean if I had a really good job, like a $60,000 a year job where I could afford to have a $5,000 hobby, then yeah, I'd be building these things too. These cars were cool. I've also been a fan of Tamiya radio control cars, but I don't know. Radio control is kind of passe. I was going to start watching some slot car racing, but I thought, no. I'm a huge fan of slot cars. And when I say slot cars, I don't mean the really small kind, the 1/64th scale ones. I'm talking about the big ones, the like 1/25th scale ones. And there's actually a track fairly close to me. It's probably not even a mile and a half away over in Hobby Town in the Hobbyplex. I wonder if they still have that track set up. And you know, the funny thing is, you can get into a car for about $100. You can buy somebody's used car for about $100. You can spend about $50 fixing it up. And then you can spend all your time practicing racing. And every time you go too fast and that car goes flying off the track, you break something. And you gotta buy something else. I learned this the hard way. When I was a kid. How old was I? I was about 14 or 15. I finally decided to get into radio control racing. You know, I had a couple of toy radio control cars before that, and I wanted to get into some racing, and so I bought a used race car off a guy, I bought a used radio off another guy, started putting stuff together, had to start buying parts, bought a bunch of used junk off other guys, you know, just like batteries and battery chargers and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff you need to be into this if you want to be competitive. And so I finally, after over the span of a couple of months, I finally got enough stuff together. And I got a car. And I put it all together. And, you know, I charged up the batteries and I was out in the front of my house in the street practicing driving and stuff. And every once in a while, you'd hit the curb. And these cars are very fast. These cars will go 30 or 40 miles an hour without a problem, you know, without stock. They'll go 30, 40 miles per hour without you tweaking them. And I don't mean 30 or 40 scale miles per hour. I mean 30 or 40 real miles per hour. These cars will out accelerate a real car or a real motorcycle. It's ridiculous. But when you have the car that small going into a curb at 30 miles an hour, they explode. I mean, parts go everywhere. I learned that rapidly, and you end up spending more time fixing the car than actually driving the car. And needless to say, I never became a great racer because my stuff wasn't competitive. I wasn't good at driving, blah, blah, blah. fast forward, 20 years later, I bought one of those Kyosho mini racers, and that's fun. But I had that on the track a couple times, and I've broken critical pieces, and something is broken on it right now. I think it's the motor clip, and I have a piece of wire tied around it. Maybe I should get that back out. I wonder if anybody's racing those anymore over at the Hobbyplex. I have to... Who knows? Oh, no, I don't want to race. Yeah, I do. I want to race. No, I don't. I don't want to race. I don't think I want to race radio control. I think I'd rather have slot car or one of those high wall type cars. I might have to go to Hobbytown just to see how much those little mini four-wheel drive jobs cost. Of course, that's stock. You got to add about 30% for all the custom parts that I'll want to put on it. Blah, 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 blah. It's so crazy. It's a class of racing that I would love to get into it, but I know it's expensive, so I don't want to get into it. I don't want to watch it anymore. I don't want to find out anything more about it because it's very technical. It's very Japanese. It's very technical. It's very fancy. It's very... very detailed stuff. I don't want to get into it. Yeah, I do. No, I don't. The problem with it is you can't own your own track. The tracks are so expensive, you can't buy one for yourself. You got to have a club. The club's got to put together a track, or you have to have stuff that's sponsored by a store or the manufacturer itself. And I've never seen this stuff in America, so... Even if I could afford a car, I don't know if I'd be able to find a place or anybody to race against. My voice is starting to go. That's weird. That's okay. We don't have much time left in this show, so maybe my voice will hold out. We are 37 minutes into this game. Still no change in the score. And I'm kind of excited because I get to go out to eat today. I get to go out to eat. I think of going to Romeo's. Romeo's Mexican food and pizza. So I'm already looking forward to the tacos and or enchiladas that I think I will eat tonight. I don't know which one I want. Maybe I will get some of both. Maybe I will get one taco and two enchiladas. Or maybe I'll get two enchiladas and one taco. Or maybe I'll get a beef Sancho and a taco. No, no, no. Tacos. I want tacos. Jeez, but now that I think about it, I kind of want enchiladas. Maybe I'll get tacos. I haven't had their tacos in a while. The tacos are kind of bland, but, you can put sauce on them. But the interesting thing about the tacos is that they are fried. The fried flour tortilla tacos. They're pretty good. And they use a really interesting tortilla. It's really thin. So you sort of get this really thin and flaky shell that's sort of hard to eat. Oh, here's another free kick for Croatia. Luka Modric takes it, puts it up the outswinger into the middle. Oh, it gets somebody's head, but it goes wide. That was a good kick, though, Luka. I used to have Luka Modric on my fantasy football team every single year. It was my English Premier League fantasy football team until he went to Spain. Now I can't have him on my team anymore. But that's nothing. You have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and I gotta go watch some more football, then eat some tacos, and then watch more toy races. Okay, bye-bye!
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line!